Hey there, fabulous teacher. Have you been wondering how to make writing time in your classroom more effective for your students? Do you want your students to love writing time? If so, I think it's time for you and I to start transforming your writing instruction. I'm Melissa Morrison, and I have a passion for helping teachers to feel confident in teaching writing and help them grow successful writers. I've worked with numerous teachers to guide them through this transformation, and in this podcast, I bring you the practical strategies you need to make writing the best time of your day. Let's get going.
Hey there, amazing teacher, and welcome. Either welcome back or welcome for the first time. I am so glad you are here. So I really try my best to bring things to all of you that I think are going to be helpful and things that so many teachers run into that regardless of where you might be in your journey with student-centered writing instruction, this will at some point be helpful for you because it will be something that you are struggling with, dealing with, going through, or just the, you know, this would be the part of the journey of this transformation for you where you are. And so today I wanted to talk about things that I've seen happen over and over again. It's happened for me, myself, when I was teaching and using this writing instruction. And when I go into classrooms, this comes up again and again. And it's really two things. One, when teachers are feeling like they just feel so overwhelmed, they're not sure what to do next. They're not sure what direction to take, what lessons to do, or they look at students and they're writing and they think, I'm just not sure what to say. Even if they really are trying to use the language of the writer, even if they have tried to set goals or if they have a plan. Sometimes we just get to that point where we're just not sure what we're doing is working or we're not sure what to do next. And then also when teachers feel like they don't see progress, when they feel like there are some students that aren't making progress, and I say some students and I want to stress that because I'm sure you know, or I'm sure this has happened to you, that we tend to focus on the ones who are not making progress or who are not doing well, and we don't see as much the ones who are. We might notice it, but it's not what stands out in our mind. We tend to focus on the ones who are not. So that's why I say some, because, or even sometimes just a few that aren't making progress, but then we worry about that. That's what we think is happening for everyone. And so I'm going to share some ideas today, some tips, some suggestions that is going to help with all of that, I do believe. So I'm glad you're here again, and I hope this will be so helpful for you. So what I'm going to share really will come down to one thing. And then that one thing, which is not a new thing that I'm going to be talking about today, that one thing is going to be broken down into two parts. But before I get to that, I want to tell you a little story. It's story time again. If you have listened to any previous episodes, there are two that are called Teaching Writing is Like Coaching the High Jump. And that came about because of one session that my daughter was in that I was there to observe for a high jump training. She is lucky enough to, and we are lucky enough to be able to do this for her, to be able to take her to a high jump trainer. And he is known across the country for his work and for his high jump. And we just had a session recently, and it once again just was such an example to me and had so many parallels to writing instruction. And so I thought I would share that with you. So Callie's only been jumping for a little while, and she's recently, the trainer helps her find one of the issues that was really holding her back. And it had something to do with just her body positioning when she was jumping over. And that has to do with some other things as well. But this time they were working on that. They were working on a couple of other things. And at one point she had done her run, but she didn't jump. So she got to the bar and she kind of just kept running. She didn't jump. And he asked her what happened. And at first she said, I don't know, which is what we might hear a lot from our writers at times. At first she said, I don't know. And he said, well, I want you to think about it. You know, you have to be able to analyze what you're doing. And so I want you to think about what happened. And she said, I lost track of the count of my steps. Now, the thing is, he had never heard that she was counting her steps, and he didn't want her to do that. And he told her that. And they had a conversation about that. And I was just thinking, if he had either let her go with, I don't know, right, and not asked her to really think about it, or if he had not asked her and he just said, okay, something happened, you know, okay, go back and try it again, jump this time, he wouldn't have found that out. And who knows when he would have found that out. If he didn't find that out, Callie would continue to count her steps and it would continue to cause issues for her. He wants her to get to the point where it's just natural. She hears the sound that she's making because that has to do with the speed. She knows the speed. She knows how she's starting. She knows how she's ending. And so it's all just going to go. And he doesn't want her to be counting anything, counting the steps. But if he had not stopped, if he had not asked, if he just worried about the jump in the end game, he would not have known. And then she would have still struggled. And it just made me think again about really, you know, he had to know her. He has to know her as a jumper, and he has to know not only what she's doing when she jumps, but what's going on in her head. And he actually shared a lot that session about the mental part of this event, and how. And actually, I'm going to share a quote because he also, just a little side note, just because I think it's a very interesting quote and I love it. He talked about the dedication and how you have to put in work and you have to, you know, work on that muscle memory, which means you have to consistently do this, you know, this thing over and over again. And then he said, you know, so when you're going and jumping and you know the number, that the height of that bar, and you know you have to get over it. And so if you're way in your head thinking about that, your mind is, and this is the quote he shared, your mind will not let you win what you haven't earned. And I thought that was so amazing because it is true. If you haven't proven that you've done the work, you might not just be allowed to earn it. So I thought that was really interesting. So bring it back to our writers. When we see a writer who is not applying many new skills or not writing as much as we would like them to or they used to, or someone who is still not engaging much or isn't as engaging as they used to, if we don't find out why and we don't talk to them about that, there may very well be something that needs to be supported or, you know, a mental issue that has to be talked about that we need to know in order to help. Sometimes it might even not even have to do with writing, but it's important that we know that. And then even if it's not something that's under the surface, when our writers are struggling with something or we see where they are lacking, we then have to decide or find out the exact area that's first needed to be supported. So I've talked before about finding the goal that's the most impactful, and I've talked about this in terms of the high jump as well. Her coach needs to find the thing that has to be corrected or done in a certain way before other things might be corrected. And so, for example, because of the way she was taking off in her jump, that was not correct. And because of that, he knew he didn't need to fix like the tilt of her head as she went over the bar, because the tilt of her head is not nearly as impactful as the jump itself. Before that, he had noticed that her approach was not starting from a far enough distance because she wasn't getting enough speed. If you don't get enough speed, you're not going to be able to get enough height to jump over the bar. So he has to pick the thing that's most impactful in order to correct and fix. And it's the same thing with some of the skills of writers. So just to try not to get into it too fast, if there's a writer who doesn't want to engage in writing or doesn't have much stamina in writing, I wouldn't necessarily worry about their elaboration or their word choice as a goal for them to work on. Not that we could never talk about it, but it's not their goal, because if they don't have stamina and they don't have enough time to practice writing, then they're never going to really get to the point where the word choice is going to make much of a difference. And it's the same thing in you know, engagement. You might think of that not as like a writing skill, although I do believe it is, but it's more of a behavior, I guess. So when you think about the more academic skill of writing, and you think about the, you know, organization and structure versus elaboration or word choice or even mechanics, you might want to worry about the structure and organization before you worry about anything else. And so we need to know where they are so that we can move them forward. And in order to do this, then we need to ask questions, just like Callie's trainer asked her, but we also need to be able to take notes. We need documentation or data, whatever you want to call it, in order to not only know them, right? Because we need to look at what's happening, and then we need to look at writing pieces, but then we need to be able to see it and keep track of things. In order to A, not feel so overwhelmed, and B, help student writers to make progress. So let's go into that a little bit more. So let's start with the feeling overwhelmed idea. And I have to say, another side note, because of work that I've read of Brené Brown and listening to her, I dislike using the word overwhelmed at times, because she has talked in the past about how when you're really overwhelmed, it's like serious. And she gives an example about working in a restaurant, which she has done before, like a really high quality, stressful place to work restaurant. And how, you know, when you say you're overwhelmed, your body, your mind is going to feel like you're overwhelmed. And so that should actually mean something, right? You should really be at the stress level that you feel overwhelmed. And sometimes we do use that word in a more exaggerated way than it's meant. But I do think that oftentimes when it comes to writing instruction, especially, we see all the different things that students are doing at all different levels. It is overwhelming. We are not sure how to help them. We're not sure how to move on. We're not sure what lessons to teach. We're not sure if we should, you know, confer or take a small group or do more whole group. Should we stop and say something? Should we not? So there's so many things. And so if you don't know your writers, you are constantly going to be going back and forth between new and old ideas of what to do. Because one day you're going to see this from them, and another day you're going to see that, and it's just going to be all over the place. But if you do know them, if you've taken time to talk to them, look at their work, see what they're doing, ask questions, and you're understanding what's happening with them, you can ignore some things and work on others. But if you don't have record of this, you don't have some kind of notes and data to plan things out and to really be able to look at it, you're still going to feel as though you're not quite sure what to do. So let's say, you know, I go through my whole class and I feel like, okay, you know, these few are very engaged, or most of them are. There's a few that aren't. Some just still really don't feel like writers. Some are writing a lot all the time. They're really busy during writing time, but they can get tripped up when this happens. And so you feel like you know them. Great. But then when you don't take that information, whether you have it on a big data sheet or you have a page of notes for every student, if you don't take that and then let it allow you to make a plan, then it's not really worth it. And so this is where the notes come in for me. Because when you can see as a class where everyone is, and you're able to see goals. So let's say you pick those goals. You're like, well, these still need to engage. These still need organization. These, you know, don't even understand this genre still. These, you know, I would actually move them up because I've looked at their work and I would say they're really ready to elaborate more. Now I have an idea of where my whole class is. That's going to help my mini lessons. I also have an idea of where groups of students are. That's going to help either small group instruction or conferences. So when I walk around and look at what's going on, I can focus on one thing. So when I walk around and I notice this student or I want to talk with this student, I'm going to check on their engagement, or I'm going to check on their stamina, or I'm going to check on their volume. And other things will come out and I'll take note of them. But this is the goal we're trying to work on, right? So it makes a difference. You can even pick one or two things that you're trying to see improve. So let's say you've done, you know, you have that first piece of writing you've looked at, or a baseline writing, or there's something in your unit that you're really trying to make happen. You could take this one thing and go around and look at everyone and take note on where they are. So now you know, okay, according to this goal that we have for the unit, this is where my class is. So these are the lessons I want to teach, or these are the students I need to meet with and, you know, talk about this and see how I can help them. So knowing writers, but then also having notes and continuing to take notes when you go and talk to them, or when you look at your work, either overall or against the specific goals that you have, that is going to stop the overwhelm because you have a plan, you have a focus. The other day I was in the classroom of a brand new teacher, and so we're halfway into the year, and she'd really been struggling recently with just getting through the day because there was a student who was having a lot of behavior issues in the classroom and it was just taking up a lot of time. And, you know, I spoke with her about it and told her I completely understand what that can do to your classroom and to you, and feeling like, you know, every day is, you just never know what's going to happen. But I still was wanting to help her with writing and see what we could do to be able to make some progress. And so not only did we kind of talk about plans for how she can modify her schedule, knowing that she might not get through everything every day, but we also, you know, she was not too far into her unit. Oh gosh, I'm drawing a blank on what she was doing in the unit. But she really wasn't quite sure how the students were doing. And so we said, okay, let's just see if the students are on genre. I said, you're going to do half the class, I'm going to do half the class. We're either going to look at their writing, or you're going to have to talk to them a little bit, ask them some questions about it. And then we will just take note, are they on genre? Are they writing about what we in the genre we want them to write about, or are they not? So I really can't remember. I'd have to look at my notes, but I think it was either they had just done opinion and they're moving into informational. And so a lot of times students, and this was in kindergarten, they're going to get a little mixed up, right? Or they're going to start one way and then it's going to turn into another way. So we just took one thing, especially knowing we're in the beginning of the unit and there still are going to be some students struggling with this. And then we had a list of students and we'd be able to say yes or no. And then if some of them were a little iffy, we would tell why. And now she knows. And so if the majority of her class is still struggling with that, she knows she needs to do more work with that whole class. If there's only a few that are, now she knows she only needs to talk to a few of them about it. But what a difference that makes in her, you know, feeling as though she has a plan and she knows what to do next. And so even though that's not always easy to do, especially not in one day, if I wasn't there, she might have taken a couple days to do it. But it's worthwhile. It's so worthwhile to take that information, to take that data, write it down, look at it on paper, and make a plan. Otherwise, she's just flying by the seat of her pants, and the choices she makes may or may not be helpful for her students. So now when we switch it over to, you know, feeling like you're not seeing progress with some students, I'm sure you can see where, of course, knowing your writers is going to be extremely important. And we'll talk about it, but then also having notes to be able to track the progress, track what you see. And even if you haven't picked a specific goal for that student, just seeing notes every time you go and meet with them or see them in a small group and, you know, show what you wrote about, you have something to look at to see what's going on. But let me just go back a second before I talk more about the notes, talk about how important it is to know them in order to make progress. Let me go back to Callie for a minute. Let's say, you know, I talked about how the trainer just found out that she was counting her steps. And what if he didn't hear that? And every single time she did her perch to jump, she was counting her steps and it kept messing her up over and over again. And maybe it wouldn't happen in the session. Maybe it would just happen at practice and then happen at her meets. And she just kept doing it. It just kept messing her up and it would inhibit her progress. It would inhibit her chance to do well because she's doing something that she shouldn't be doing, right? And if he didn't know that, he wouldn't be able to help her with it. I can also just go back again to the other parts of her jump that needed help. If he had chosen this one thing that he was fixating on to talk to her about, let's say her head position, and he ignored the way that she was jumping during her takeoff, she was going to continue to have that part right or, you know, wrong. Even if she did fix her head, her jump would not improve. And I've seen this in the classroom and I understand it because sometimes it's so hard to take the time to know our writers. But I've seen where especially students who are very below or quite a bit below most of the students, that those tend to be the students who are like, I just don't know how to help them, because often they are so far below grade level that perhaps you're not used to that grade level. You know, if it's a second grader who's on a kindergarten level and you've never taught kindergarten and you're thinking, what should I do, right? If it's a seventh grader who's writing on a fourth grade level or lower and you've never taught that, and so you're not sure what to do. So it makes it really difficult. And that's why we do have to, though, take the time to get to know them and see where they are, because even if we're not quite sure how to progress them from that level, at least we know that we, if you really see where they are as a writer, you know you're not going to be able to push them all the way up to their current grade level where they're, you know, so far away from that that it just wouldn't happen. But recently in a first grade classroom, there was a student where a teacher was really struggling with, you know, they were still very close to where they were in the beginning of the school year. And they're thinking, you know, we're getting closer and closer to second grade and they're still not writing every day. And what they knew is that when this student had support and when someone was like sitting with them, let's say, or if they were in phonics time and they had to write some dictation sentence or something, that student could do it. They could get some things down on the paper. They could write what you would say, or they would maybe come up with more things to say and end up writing it if someone was with them. But when they were on their own, they just weren't. There just wasn't much coming up. But what we also found out, not only that, was this child wasn't even wanting to compose with pictures. They were just weren't even drawing. And they would sometimes just start taking a crayon and going in circles in all different colors on their paper, and that was it. And when we really talked about it, we found that this student just doesn't even really want to write. They're not engaged. It's not meaningful enough for him. And he is not feeling very equipped with his level of writing and the actual transcription part. It is difficult for him. And so if this teacher were to continue to, first of all, always give him support, you know, in the way of just like, okay, let's get this down. That's something that as soon as you take it away, he now still is not able to write on his own, right? And if it was only about, you know, saying, okay, let's think about what else you could tell me or what could you write, and it's about this topic that he's not interested in, and honestly, sometimes he would pick his topic, but he still just didn't have, it was still two things, I think. He didn't have a meaning. It wasn't invested enough for him. Like, it came up and maybe someone even just helped him pick it. And then also he just doesn't feel skilled enough. And so I believed he needed to spend more time, A, building a bank of ideas that are meaningful for him and understanding like why he's doing this in the first place, even though he's only in first grade. And then also taking time where he is independently able to write. So whether that be pictures, and by the way, if he wants to draw or write about something, he can draw pretty representational picture. So he's able to do that. He probably feels confident in that part. But then it might right now just need to be some labels and words for him so that he can just practice that over and over again and feel more confident and have it be not such a cognitive load for him. And so the real reason why there wasn't progress for this writer is because he was not really being met where he is. We didn't they didn't really know where he was as a writer, and then he wasn't able to practice at the level that he needed to practice as a writer. But let's say, you know, now those things are going to happen, or let's say you have writers where you do feel you know who they are as a writer and you're trying to meet their goals. It's important to have these notes because, A, let's face it, we don't remember everything. You probably met with this student last week because it's very difficult to get to every student every week, even sometimes, and you don't remember. You don't remember what you talked about. You don't remember what they were working on, because sometimes you just want to know, did we change topics? Did we not? You will not remember. So when you are able to look at the notes and say, okay, last time I gave him this compliment, we talked about this. This is the goal we're working on. All right, let me focus. Now I know what I'm kind of trying to pay attention to. I know what I can really talk to them about. And then I'm going to take notes again. And not only will it keep you focused and on point, so you know what to do next time you're with them, but you'll also be able to see the progress of the writer. It's extremely helpful. I can't say it enough. I know it takes time, and sometimes it also takes a while to feel you have the note-taking system that you want, but I don't care if it's organized. It could be a bunch of post-it notes that you then have to put together. You lose some of them sometimes, but at least you have something. So as this episode comes to a close, my fabulous writing teacher, I am going to leave you with Know Your Writers the Best You Can by asking questions, looking at work, and taking notes, and then keeping those notes. Try something. Try pick two goals for your class and check out every student based on those goals, or try to just take some notes on each student and see what you got. That the Hierarchy of Writing Goals from Jennifer Saravallo is one of my favorite tools to use for this. But you think of what you want to be seeing from your writers, put it down on paper, and then check it out. Check them out as writers, talk to them, see what you got. Keep notes, and you will see that you are no longer as overwhelmed, and you are going to notice progress for your writers. Hey again, I am so happy to have had you listen in again today. I would like to ask a little favor. If you're enjoying the podcast, could you take a moment to go wherever it is that you listen and write a review and tell others what you find so great about these episodes? I would love to be able to share it with more teachers to help them in their writing instruction, just as hopefully I've been helping you. Thank you so much.